you, Miss Michelle, for that special. We're going to continue our series through the book of Genesis, In the Beginning, God. That is our theme for the year. Genesis is it's a good book. If you don't know where to start, start at the beginning. And God has made that accessible to us. His word begins with a wonderful bang, not the big bang, but a wonderful start when he said, in the beginning, God created. He needs no introduction. He is the self-existent one. And we're looking forward to, and have been enjoying this study of who God truly is. I believe that if this world could really just get into focus who God really is, it would change some things. That lives would be changed. Hearts would be changed. We'd treat each other a lot better. Because in the end, God is the source of everything good. And if we would just see him for who he truly is, I know that it would change some lives. And that is my goal and my heart as a pastor here at Bellingham Baptist Church, that we would be a light that would shine the goodness of God. That we would be able to show everyone that God is, he is not a respecter of persons. That he doesn't need any of us to exist. But he chooses to have a relationship with us if we'll just accept him. And I hope that you today in this message see just a little bit more of who he is and how much he truly loves us. We're going to begin here in Genesis chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 4. Got a little bit of a lengthy passage today that we like to go through. But I think it's good to get in context, to get a big picture of what the Lord is doing here in chapter number 2. In chapter number 1, of course, we begin with God beginning the creation process. And every day has its own category and what he's doing. And then the seventh day he rested. And then in verse number 4, it goes back and gives a little bit more detail of day chapter 6 and moving on. Because day 6 is when we were created. And this is God wanted to take extra special care in the day in which he created us to show us what he was really doing when he poured the breath of life into each and every one of us. Our God is good, and so we'll see that here, even in the creation process. So let's stand, if you're willing and able to stand in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. We're going to begin in verse number 4, and we're going to read down through verse number 20. It says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. We're going to skip down to verse 15 for time's sake. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat, thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again for your word, and I pray that you'd bless the reading of it in this message, Lord, that I would speak your words, and that you would change hearts and do your work. Thank you again for being the God you are. Help us to see you more clearly today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So the earth was built and created in its fullness. God made it. We talked about that last week, that God didn't just create, he made. He made something specifically for us, pouring his personality into his creation. And the crowning achievement is when he breathed into man the breath of life. He gave a part of himself to create us, and we were created in the image of God. We've been going over that each week as we've come through this first chapter of Genesis, and just how much God really did, how impactful and how gracious God truly was when he gave us a living soul, when he gave us his image. He gave us the opportunity to come to him and not just be forced to come, but to choose, because he wanted a relationship with us. See, to have a relationship, there has to be a choice. When I was about 6 years old, my family had just moved to Hillsboro, Oregon, and my dad had started a church there when I was four, and so it had been going for about 2 years, but some of my earliest memories I remember from the house we had moved into. Finally purchased a house, put down roots in Hillsboro, Oregon, and we had a backyard. Before that, we had just kind of been in, well, what the 80s version of a townhouse was. It was more just a, what we'd call a strip mall, but it was just kind of like a motel, but turned into apartments, and so we never had a yard. But this was our first backyard, and I remember moving into that house, and I went back out back, and it felt like it was acres and acres. Found out later, I went back as an adult, and it's really just a small, you know, 20 by 20 yard. But it was it might as well have been the Enchanted Forest, because it was a yard. And I remember going out there, and first thing I did was dig a hole, you know, and just to try to see what was under the ground. And then I got yelled at by my dad for messing up the lawn the first day. But that, you know, that's part of it, but he was happy that we had a lawn. But I remember I saw crawling up the wall. It was actually, there was a factory right next to us, so we had one wall. A natural fence was a big tall brick, not brick but cement wall on two sides, and then we had a privacy fence around the rest. I remember one day I saw something moving up that wall, and I went and looked a little closer, and it was a really big caterpillar. And I thought, this is amazing. I got a pet. And so I grabbed it and I stuck it in a jar. And I was convinced. I mean, I remember I'm 6 years old. This wasn't yesterday. So I was 6 years old, and I remember closing that lid, and I poked little holes in it because mom told me I had to do that. And this was my friend. I named him George. He was George. And we went everywhere together for a little bit. And George was my favorite. And started to really build this relationship with George. And I told my mom one day, I said, Mom, I think George really loves me. And she, you know, I was at that age where I was trying to understand relationships. And so she explained to me, she said, you know, I don't think he's really capable of love, but that's precious. You know, I'm glad that she did. But she was trying to teach me a lesson. I was getting to that point where I needed life. You know, like, oh, that's so cruel. Let the kid believe that he has that George loves him just as much as he loves George. But I am thankful for it, because I remember to this day when I started understanding the nature of relationships and free will. Because I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, he doesn't have a choice. He's just there. He's always next to you. But I had understood, he's always next to me. He's always close to me. He stays in my presence, so he must love me. That was how my six-year-old mind understood it. And then she said, yeah, but he doesn't really have a choice. So, and then she went into something about God and how he loves us. But I had stopped listening, because I was like, I'm going to give George a choice. And so I remember that night I unscrewed the jar, and I stuck it next to my bed. And I woke up the next morning saying, well, did George stay there? And I looked, and George was not there. He had walked away, and of course my heart was broken. And my mom came in, and I was crying. My mom came, oh, what's wrong, buddy? And I was like, well, I opened the jar to see if George would stay with me, and he's gone. And she's like, so you're saying there's a caterpillar in my house somewhere loose? Of course, that's what she thought of right away. But, you know, then she consoled me as she was looking around trying to find George. You know, but then, you know, she realized, okay, I probably went too far with it. So then she's like, oh, George didn't leave. He probably just went to go find a place. He'll be a butterfly, and then he'll come. She couldn't carry the lesson through to the end. She had to be nice when I started started crying. But in the end, I do remember that she was teaching. I remember that concept that she told me, that because she was right. George, as soon as he was given a choice, he walked away. And I knew at that point that, you know, George really wasn't capable of loving me the way I loved him. You see, you can't have and know true love and a true relationship with someone. It's only one-sided unless there is free will, unless there is a choice. And God took a great risk. As a 6-year-old, I did it out of ignorance. But God, when he gave us a free will, he knew exactly how we would react. He knew exactly what we would do. And yet, because he loved us so much, he went ahead and did it. And out of the dust of the ground, he formed man and he breathed into him the breath of life. He gave us a piece of himself, a piece of his image, that he knew that we would go our own way. And he knew that we would trample all over his goodness. He knew that even today, 2,000 years after he would send his son to die on a cross for our sins, and he would extend the hand of grace and love to us, knowing that most people would slap it away and spit in his face. And yet he knew all of that in the beginning. And still he gave. He gave us everything we needed to love. Because he wanted us to be able to love him like he loves us. What a gracious God. Somebody who would love us so much to make it possible for us to love him back. I think sometimes we take for granted that we just are. That we have just, I'm able to love. I'm able to form relationships. We don't really think about it. But every part of what makes us human, God put it there. Now there's parts of what we've taken of his and we've corrupted. Now the wrong we do, that had nothing to do with God. The sin that is within us, that was when we took his will and we trampled all over it and we made a mess of what he gave us in innocence and goodness. But God loves us and he wants us to be able to have a relationship with him. We see that here in this passage that we read. God gave choice in verse number 9. When he gave us the Lord God, it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for fruit, good for food. He provided a place for us. He provided protection, showing us that he was everything that we needed. Yes, he had built us with the cap of the jar off for us to go where we wanted or what we did. But he put food in there. He gave us everything we needed to know that in his presence was the best place to be. He showed us that, but then he gave us a chance. He gave us the ability to walk away. He set up the tree of life, a reminder, a constant reminder of his goodness and what we have in his presence. We will find out later that God even came down and spoke in the cool of the morning with Adam, and Adam talked with God and walked with him as a friend with a friend, had perfect fellowship and communion with our God in innocence. It was a beloved thing. That's why authors and historians and poets have referred to that time as paradise, because it was. It was a time when God and man were in communion one with the other. Thankfully, God has made a way for us to get back there. There will be a day even better than the day of Adam when he walked in the cool of the morning with God. Thankfully, we have it because God has made a way. But there was a time when there was fellowship, everything to be reminded, everything to remind us that God is good. And we see also that this tree of knowledge of good and evil, he even gave instruction in verse 17, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They had no concept of death. They didn't know what that meant. But death, they knew, was separation. It would be separation from God. They didn't have to know what fear was. They didn't have to know what worry. They didn't know what sin was. They just knew perfection. And then when they left, they knew that God wasn't going to be able to commune with them like they were, like he had. But he gave them that choice. I think it's interesting to note here, thou shalt surely die, in verse number 17. It sounds like he's being very stern and morbid and serious. And he is, because sin is a very serious thing to God. But really, in the end, he's giving them instruction for how not to get there. He's saying, listen, all you have to do is not eat of this one tree. In the beginning, we only had one rule. And after that came the law. A whole bunch of rules. God was showing us that with one rule, we couldn't do it. With a multitude of rules, we couldn't do it. In the end, we're going to go our own way. Because we're like a caterpillar. And we want to see what we're missing out on. Because pride is the original sin. It's the sin of just thinking highly of ourselves. It's what Adam and Eve, they wanted that pride of life. They saw that fruit and they said, we could be like gods. They were told a lie that would make them see that what they wanted to see and make them think about themselves. And as they chose themselves over communion with God, as they chose what they might be missing out on, and they believed a holy and perfect God was less than interested in them. See, in this day and age, everyone is trying to tell us that God is, oh, he's just trying to tell you what you can't do. God is not interested in you. He wants is subjects. He just wants to give you a group of rules. And if there is a God, then he's not going to. He's just built on legalism and just cruelty. And we can get focused and sidetracked by that. But that's a lie. It's a lie. Our God is good and he wants us to commune with him in fellowship. He loves us. There's nothing I see here that would tell us that he wanted them to surely die. He did not. He provided every opportunity for them to stay in fellowship. But he knew that they would. But he had created a plan that would make it even better for us in the end. Created us with a desire to have fellowship with him. See, even verse number. Verse number 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. It is not good that the man should be alone. Every other creation, every other act that God had done up to this point, he took a step back and said, it is good. He finished it off and he said, it is very good. This is the first thing that God looked at and said, it is not good. Why would God say that? He obviously knew in advance of that it would be not good. So why didn't he just immediately create it to be very good? Well, he looked at it and said, it is not good to make a point. To make a point that all of us require companionship. You see, God, even then, he knew that man would walk away from him. They would look at him and they would see not enough. There's not enough. And in his goodness, he allowed us to have companions even in our misery. Because he wanted us to be able to have a relationship not only with him, but with each other. See, it wasn't until after God created Adam and Eve that we see that Adam and God's relationship was fulfilled, that they started to fellowship in the cool of the morning. See, when that was the two of them together, Adam had a relationship with God and he had a relationship with Eve. And it was when both of them were in communion that paradise was truly achieved. You see, our relationship with God is a direct outflow of our relationship with others and vice versa. Our relationship with God is the most important, and that's why Adam was created first, so that we could understand that God and us, that is the original relationship. God and man, it's the original relationship. God wants us first and foremost to be focused on Him and His things. He loved us that much. Then He created others so that we would not be alone. He created male and female so that there could be more, so that we could, as a people, that we would have each other, that we could pour our love that we have learned from God into others. God wants us to show our love to Him by showing it to other people. It is not good for us to be alone. It wasn't good back then. It's not good today. See, there's a world outside these walls, and they don't know the love of God. And if you're here today, it's possible that you've not seen much of the love of God throughout your week. I know if I focus on what I've been through out there, from Monday to Saturday, there's not a lot of love of God that goes around. Not evident. Yeah, there's little snippets of it here and there I'll see. But by and large, I just try to get through. You know, I try not to really be a burden to others. And, you know, but there are multiple times throughout the week when I will just be overwhelmed by the pride of myself and others. How easily it is for us to think of ourselves. How easy it is not to focus on God and His goodness. Forget that I am not alone. You see, God said it was not good for us to be alone. It's good for us to think of what He's given us. It's good for us to think of who He has given us. See, our relationship with God was never intended to just be about Him and about us. God wants us, our love between us. He wants this relationship to impact the relationships around us. When God created us in His goodness, He did everything, He put everything out before us, and He loved us, and He gave us everything that we need so that we would be able to love others. I hope that you are showing the love of God in your life. You say, how can I know the love of God when I don't really even know what that is? Well, the love of God is loving when there's no opportunity for them to love you back. There's no reason for them to love you back. I didn't realize in that day when I took off the cap of that jar, I didn't realize that caterpillar had no ability to love me back. You see, God did when He let us love. When He let us choose whether to love Him or not. He let us walk away, but the reason He gave all of that to us, the reason He did that, was so that we could know and we could tell others there is goodness and there is love in God. The further we go away from Him, and the more He brings us back to Himself, and the more mercy that He shows, the more we're able to express that to others and to show them that there is light. There is a good God who loves them more than anything. God created us to not be alone. Our relationship with Him needs to be right first and foremost. If you're here today and you have not experienced the love of God, let me tell you about it. Adam and Eve did take of the fruit, and in that day they did surely die. You say, well, no, I've read about Adam and Eve. They lived on. They had kids after. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. The very day that they took that apple or whatever fruit it was, and they took the fruit of that tree, it was over. Their relationship with God was no more. They were sent from the garden, and sin became a reality. And that pronouncement, that curse that God put on sin, it remains to this day. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans was written 4,500 years after, at least 4,500 years after the account that we have here. And still, that same curse was still pervading all the way to the end. That sin produces death. And that death was separation from the garden. It was separation of God, from God. It was separation from their spirit. They had a broken image of God, and we were born with a broken image of God. Yes, He still created us. He gave us the breath of life. But we were created broken because of our sin. Because our sin separates us from God. But there's good news. Because God loved us so much. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. He said, "Wherefore God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." See, our sin separated us from God. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a single exception to the rule. We were born as sinners. We're born innocent. I've seen a cute little baby. We have a few of them here in the nursery. They don't look like they're capable of sin. You know, just wait a little bit. It'll become evident. But the Bible, in addition to what we see, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man death entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." See, all of us have sinned. And death came into this world because of sin. We are all sinners. There's good news. Jesus came and He died. And He took the penalty for our sin. And if we will just simply come to Him in faith, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness, and with the heart confession is made unto salvation." God loves us. Because if we'll just accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we'll be saved. God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die. If we'll simply believe in Him, that's the answer. So you may think, as you've gone throughout this day, if you've gone throughout this week, "I have not seen the love of God." The love of God is there. It's on us all. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, there's hope from our sin. There's hope from our death. There's victory over that sting of death. If we will simply focus on the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we will simply believe in Him, He has paid for our sin, and we'll be saved. That's all there is to it. Why do we gather here? How do we know that the love of God is here? Because God is good. He's so good that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. If you're here today and you have not been saved from your sin, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've got to come. There's an answer. You can have hope in this life and in the life to come. But you have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may say, "I'm not convinced, Brother Joel. I hear what you're saying and it sounds good, but surely it can't be that simple." It is that simple because God loved us that much. Now you have to choose. You have to do what A caterpillar never would. You have to realize that I made a mistake and that I don't want to live this way anymore. My sin does separate me from God, and I want to go back. I want to know His goodness, and I want to have a relationship with my Father. Recognize that that sin separates you. Because God gave you something He didn't give George. He gave you an ability to choose. I will accept your Son, Jesus Christ. I will be saved. And if you'll just do that, you can be counted and numbered among the brethren. You will know each and every one, everybody else who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior will be your brother or your sister. You'll become a new creature. So the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you want a new life? Do you want to walk out those doors seeing the world differently, understanding that there is hope in a hopeless world? It doesn't matter how many acts of unkindness or selfishness you see throughout your week. You'll know that there is a good God and He loves you. Doesn't matter what you witness. Doesn't matter what you go through. That you will never be alone, because God made for sure that we would never be alone. Even when you are all by yourself, you are not alone. Because God made sure it is not good for you to be alone. In Romans 8:28, God said, and we know that all things work together for good, for good to them that love God, for them who are the called according to His purpose. See, if you are in Christ, if you have God, then everything will work together for good. And the only way that's possible is if you're never alone. Lord Jesus Christ promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have hope. You have all that you need to go through this world with joy in your heart and peace with God. You will never know the impact that that makes until you just come. The Holy Spirit of God, He may be working in your heart right now and convincing you of the truth of what has been preached. It's the most important decision a man can make. It's the most important decision you will ever be confronted with. Do you believe that Jesus came and died for you? Do you believe that you need a Savior from your sin? Do you believe that your sin separates you from God? If you've answered yes to all those questions, then the Holy Spirit has convinced you. You need to come and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. It's the only answer. You'll keep searching and searching and never find it until you just accept Him for who He is. It's not what you can do, it's what He's done. Because He loves you. And He made a way for you to come to Him. Let's all stand to our feet and bow our heads.